You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Narcissists are all about winning, which is why divorcing a narcissist can feel impossible. On this episode of Navigating Narcissism, I've invited top divorce attorney Demetria Graves to break down this unfortunate and unique art of war. Unlike Demetria, many attorneys don't understand the intricacies of dealing with narcissism in a divorce, like the fact that it's not uncommon for these proceedings to last longer than the marriages themselves. In this eye-opening conversation, she reveals her pre-divorce checklist, debunks divorce myths, and warns of common mistakes. This is a must-listen for anyone divorcing a narcissist, thinking of divorcing a narcissist, or even thinking about getting married, period. After all, the best way to learn how to make it work is from an attorney who spent her career handling the pitfalls and the landscape of narcissistic marriage and divorce. If you don't want to go through a grueling experience of getting out, pay attention to how you come in. This podcast should not be used as a substitute for medical or mental health advice. Individuals are advised to seek independent medical advice, counseling, and/or therapy from a healthcare professional with respect to any medical condition, mental health issue, or health inquiry, including matters discussed on this podcast. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the podcast author or individuals participating in the podcast and do not represent the opinions of Red Table Talk Productions, iHeartMedia, or their employees. So, Demetria, I am so happy to have you here. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule.
And thank you for inviting me.
Demetria, the reason your coming on the show is so important and so compelling is that in my own practice, working with survivors of narcissistic abuse, the issue of divorce, as you can imagine, is one of the primary issues I'm dealing with. It's either people who are in unhealthy marriages and are thinking of dissolving the marriage, people who are just coming out and making a decision, do I, don't I? And then the people who are already in the divorce process.
Right.
You practice in California.
I do. And each state is different in terms of how they address family law.
And so the guidance you're going to hear today is from an attorney who does practice in California. While some of this may generalize, it's absolutely critical that anyone listening to today's episode seeks out counsel in whatever region that you live in, state, province, nation, whatever. So, Demetria, if you were to put together a pre-divorce checklist for someone who is about to commence a divorce from a narcissistic person, what are the things that you would recommend?
So number one, that I tell my clients, all gloves are off, meaning the narcissistic partner is going to do whatever they can, say whatever they want to win. So if they can use your mental health, they're going to do that. If they can disclose your intimate details of your relationship, they're going to do that. If they can align with your children, they're going to do that. So nothing is going to be quote unquote fair, and it's not going to be amicable. Mm-hmm. So you have to prepare for that, that all gloves are off. Anything you shared with your partner, you might hear it in court. So you have to be prepared that they're going to say whatever, do whatever, because they want to win.
Demetria, how do you prepare people for that? Because that's a lot. Like what you just said is not, that's not just some little thing off a to-do list.
Right.
That's actually almost changing a worldview.
Right.
How do you prepare your clients at that stage?
It's really hard to do because I've had clients that are attorneys, that are therapists, that work in the court mm-hmm. and had to deal with, oh my God, all of my personal information is out. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So we have to spend a lot of time understanding, okay, this is going to happen. How are you going to cope? Because unfortunately, I'm licensed as an attorney. I'm not licensed as a therapist or to help others kind of deal with the emotional trappings of their divorce. Mm-hmm. So I always recommend, especially with narcissistic abusers, that you have someone, a coach, a therapist, or someone that can help you through your divorce, especially during those times when you're reading the intimate details of your life mm-hmm, and intimate mm-hmm. details that you thought would only be shared with your partner, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and it's being used against you.
So the first step of this pre-divorce checklist is like, be prepared that the gloves are coming off.
The gloves are off.
Are off, not yep. even coming off. It's
not
like
off.
This, they're off, okay? What would you say are some of the other items on this pre-divorce checklist?
Your finances. Mm-hmm. The narcissistic mm-hmm. divorce will cost 3 to 4 times than the average divorce. I've had clients that were married 5 years or less spend $100,000 on a divorce and
that's,
counting.
That's $20,000 a year for the marriage.
Right.
You could have put that in an investment
right.
and gotten a better yield on that.
Aye, right. Aye, aye. It is very expensive because the narcissistic partner wants to win.
Yeah.
So they're
mm-hmm.
going to file every motion. They're going to do all the things to win. So you can have a 5-year marriage, but spend 6 years in your divorce.
I have so many other questions on that. So I'm going to keep going on your checklist and I'm going to
okay.
go back and ask my questions.
Okay.
What else would you put on this checklist?
You have to be careful if you're residing in the residence at the time of your divorce, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because then a lot of narcissists know how to bait you mm-hmm. to start mm-hmm. making the case for the divorce. And in California, a restraining order is tied to who gets custody. So I've seen where a narcissistic partner will try to get the other partner to hit them or to have these verbal disputes with them to attempt to get a restraining order. Mm-hmm. Because if there's a restraining order, then the partner has to leave, not the abuser.
Oh, I see. So you're talking about situations where people are starting the divorce process,
mm-hmm.
but they're still both occupying the marital residence.
Right, which is not uncommon
I know,
in California.
It's not uncommon.
Because it costs $1 million to live
I can
here.
Tell you as a psychologist mm-hmm. where I have worked with couples where mm-hmm. there's a narcissistic abuse situation and they don't both leave the residence. I think that the psychological harm is 10 times worse.
Right. And a lot of people still believe, even though they've experienced the abuse, that there's no way they will do that to me. There's mm-hmm. no way mm-hmm. they would kick yeah. me out of the residence. And I'm here to tell you they do mm-hmm. and they will
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
it's all about winning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's very important in addition to having a therapist to have mm-hmm. a support system,
mm-hmm.
right? Everyone won't understand what you're going through. But again, your attorney is only equipped to deal with the business of your divorce.
Mm-hmm,
despite
mm-hmm.
what we tell you, we are not equipped to deal with the emotional aspects of what you're going through. And quite honestly, you don't want to pay us to deal with the emotional side
I'm
of this.
I'm cheaper than you.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. So.
That's just the practical check, the
mm-hmm.
checklist, right?
Mm-hmm.
The legal part of this is you have to be prepared that narcissists tend to hire narcissistic attorneys.
Okay, talk more about that.
They choose people that will harass you and your attorney,
mm-hmm.
that write letters, emails, 7 pages, 10 pages, can be every day or every other day, extremely condescending, and make you feel like, oh, wow, did that happen? Or did I say that? Or is this really happening? And so that is something to prepare for. And if I had to learn myself how to disengage how to maneuver a narcissistic attorney. That was a new phenomenon for me, but it is very real and it is very dangerous.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a sort of a procedural question. Since they probably don't have all sit on one website, narcissistic attorneys for family law, like there's not one place you can find these people. How do they find them? Do they just interview them and say, oh, you seem like a jerk, I'm hiring you? Or is there reputation?
I think it's like attracts like, right?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
You tend to go to the people who you're most familiar with and who feels good to you.
Who feels good, you're right.
So if you're narcissistic and you go to someone and they say, I'm not doing that, or I don't believe in that, or no, we're not going to do that, you're not going to go with that person because you want to win and you want to control the show. So if you can't do that, that you're not going to select that attorney.
Okay, I got that. That let's say there's two people in a divorce and the narcissistic person picks up the phone and inquires about retaining five or six top divorce attorneys.
Right.
Are those people then now not allowed to
write?
Yeah, disqualified, yeah.
Well, it depends on how much information is shared.
I
if you
see.
Just call and make an appointment, then no, you didn't share anything that was important to the case. If you call and pay a retainer fee to speak to the attorney and you speak for an hour on your case, then it's likely that that attorney can be disqualified. And if you pay a bigger retainer, then the attorney would probably be disqualified.
Is that a thing that ever happens, that a person who actually is not going to retain X or Y attorney, but wants them not to be retainable, as it were, by the, let's call them the non-narcissistic partner, the other person. Have you seen that happen?
Yes, especially in small cities, because, you know who the quote-unquote top attorneys are.
Yeah.
So if I disqualify all, let's say, 10 attorneys, you have to start going out to different places.
I see.
To people that are less experienced in those cities.
And so that's
a
thing.
Yes, it is a thing.
Okay. All right. Anything else on this checklist?
Oh, yes, most definitely. We talked about the cost. It's going to take probably double the time as well. There are many cases. There's two I have right now, both married less than 5 years, and their divorces are set to go beyond the time they were married. And so my clients get frustrated.
Wow.
And Demetria, can we just offer them X amount of dollars to go away? But you know, like I know, it's not about the money. It's about the control. It's about the grandstanding in court and wherever else. So a lot of times they don't want the money. They want to keep trying to ruin financially and otherwise the other party.
It's about the game.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's really what it is. They'll game the system, draw it out, expensive appeals, delay on discovery, providing documents and all of that. But then one day they find their new person that they want to marry ever oh so quickly.
Right.
They split up on paper. They push it. We got to hurry up. Aren't you the person who took like 4 months to come up with
four years?
Right. And so it's really what it is. It's like you said, it's they have to be in control of the whole process. It's not necessarily that they draw it out. Sometimes they really try to rush it so quickly that the other person can't even get their feet under them because they want to quickly get. Usually it's remarried in my experience.
Right.
I mean, that takes me to the idea of bifurcation.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so and bifurcation to me is always code for. The narcissistic person wants to get married.
Right.
Right. After they've made this other person's life miserable for 3 years.
Right.
And then if you could just explain for our listeners what bifurcation is so they understand what that concept
is.
Sure.
That's just a fancy way of saying that we're going to get divorced on paper and we're going to handle the issues of our divorce later, meaning we're going to handle custody and visitation, division of assets and debts. We're going to save that for a later date. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that always works out really. So when the bifurcation is done and signed, those people are then legally single. They
they
can go enter into the contract of marriage
with someone else.
The marriage is done even though all the other stuff's going on.
That
is
correct.
Yeah, because when I've seen that happen, it was a rush for them to get into their new relationship, new marriage, big white wedding, the whole nine yards, and there's this whole big mess. It's like people are coming over for dinner and you throw all the stuff in the closet.
Right.
I'm like, you know the closet's still a mess. All right, so let's keep checklisting.
Sure.
What else do you have?
Your attorney. You have to pick an attorney that is aware of what's going on or is stern enough to stand up to the narcissistic attorney because they will be condescending, they will drive you crazy, and you have to learn how to draw the line because your client is kind of watching you as well. So you want to be sure that you're not engaging in that.
Yeah.
That is something I had to learn because it is so easy when you're constantly attacked to want to attack back, but that's exactly what they want.
How did you get good at this? Because I don't imagine that there's a law school class called How to Practice Family Law Against a Narcissistic Opposing Counsel.
It was trial by fire because I found myself, you know, typing away my email. They would type an email. I would type an email. And I said, what am I doing? Mm-hmm, I'm costing mm-hmm. my client a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what they want you to do, mm-hmm. is get entrapped with whatever their issues are. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But when I started saying, okay, thank you, I have your email, thank you very much, mm-hmm. it stopped.
Interesting. Was there one case and you realized that you almost had to sort of take a very different tack going mm-hmm. forward because you learned so much about narcissism and narcissistic mm-hmm. abuse in one case?
Yes, it was a case that is still going,
Ooh.
But it was still every day. As you know, Ms. Graves, I'm what we call a certified family law specialist. Mm-hmm. So she would always say, well, as a certified family law specialist, you should know XYZ. So it was constant jabs.
Passive aggressive.
Very passive aggressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I had to get to the point where I said, well, what is more important, fighting with this person
yeah.
or getting our client to the finish line?
Mm-hmm.
It is not easy. I will not sit here and tell you it is easy. It is not, especially with my personality. I want to fight back. But
yeah.
I had to be the bigger person, mm-hmm. and it's better for my client, mm-hmm. but it's challenging.
You're having to do what I tell clients to do with narcissists all the time, which is don't engage.
Right.
That's it. Don't engage.
Right.
If people don't like that, they're like, this person right. is talking nonsense about me. Like I,
yes.
And I said, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And in your case, it's even more interesting because of your fiduciary responsibility
right.
that you do have to protect your client financially. You're not just supposed to sort of run the meter, mm-hmm. you know, constantly, because
right.
if you did answer all of those emails,
it would be
you
a lot
would
of
bleed
money.
Them dry.
Right.
Yes.
But not only that, our clients are watching us. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if I'm getting upset and I'm getting mm-hmm. emotional, mm-hmm. then my mm-hmm. client's going to get upset and mm-hmm. emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy. And a lot of times I spend time with my client because sometimes they want to know, well, why are we fighting back? And
yeah.
should we be doing this? And I have to have the conversation. No, mm-hmm. the more we engage, the more it's going to cost and it's not getting us anywhere.
Mm-hmm. What Demetria learned early in her career is a classic tactic that works with any narcissist in any scenario. It's called gray rocking, essentially acting like a boring gray rock when interacting. You respond with brief, disengaged answers. In time, the narcissist realizes that you're not going to engage, and then they will back off. Did you know about narcissism before you became a family law attorney and before you started practicing independently?
No.
You did not?
No.
So this is where you learned it in
right.
doing it.
A lot of times you're like, well, is this narcissism or is this person just controlling? So you do have to go and do your own research and you do
right.
have to go and start studying and learning.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I think that's what a lot of other attorneys do that haven't had this experience.
Yes.
And some judges, right? Because we do use narcissism a lot now. It's more discussed than before.
Yeah.
And if you don't enlighten yourself, it's hard to really take serious and know the signs and know how mm-hmm. to engage in the process.
One thing I'd say to that, though, Dimitri, is that it's almost less important to get the narcissism part right.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your job to be a personality assessment expert, right?
Right.
But, you know, it would be very rare mm-hmm. to have someone who was harmfully controlling,
mm-hmm.
but then it was also really empathic and nice.
Right.
Right. Like those
right.
things don't tend to co-locate.
Right.
That very harmfully controlling person might also be coercive, is very likely to be unempathic,
mm-hmm.
is very likely to be entitled,
right.
you know, is very likely to be validation seeking and mm-hmm. on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
So this stuff kind of hangs together.
Right.
And that hanging togetherness means it's the one thing I've always had a concern about is whether attorneys or even family court judges are getting too lost in the weeds of, well, is this a narcissist? I said, forget it. Let's write down the patterns that are concerning
right.
you. When they're done, if I were to look at the list, I'm like,
right.
probably,
right. Right.
you
right.
know,
right.
but I think that it's going to be very rare for there to be a friendly, controlling person.
Right.
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 So I think that that's the other thing, to almost lift that pressure off of all attorneys
right.
to say you have to be able to make that call. But
mm-hmm.
what you're looking for is consistency. codependency.
Right.
Right. This is not just someone whose heart is broken mm-hmm. and on the first day is saying mm-hmm. like, darn you, you're not going to do this to mm-hmm. me. And then they're like, all right, she's not into me anymore. I just right. gotta, you know, all right. And you know what I'm saying? There could be that initial moment,
right. Right.
but that's not what we're talking about.
No.
We're talking about things that are going on for years and years and years. And again, it feels like they've taken a system mm-hmm. and turned it into a game.
Right.
Keep giving me that checklist. Did we hit it all? Is there anything else you want to add to that?
The children aspect.
Ah, okay. That's that the biggest one.
Right. Attempt to align the children with their agenda. Mm-hmm, and what mm-hmm. they tend to do is buy toys, buy mm-hmm. iPhones, mm-hmm. buy PlayStations, mm-hmm. and cry. I've seen the crying act.
Yeah, it's very manipulative.
And how can mom do this to us? Mm-hmm, mom is breaking
talking
up.
Talking about the collective.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Breaking up our family. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to move. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mom's taking away your house. Mm-hmm. And children, that is very, very hard. Because children do not mm-hmm. want to be in the middle. If you're buying yep. them all these toys mm-hmm. and constantly mm-hmm. talking bad about the other parent, it's very confusing.
Do you then prepare them and say, this is going to be
yes.
really
everything
difficult.
I'm talking to you about,
is
we
you
sit
do.
And have these mm-hmm. conversations.
Okay.
And so the intake process with someone that is experiencing narcissistic mm-hmm. abuse is way longer than any other mm-hmm. process because it's way more factors to consider. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think it's important you have to look at the practical side of things and the mm-hmm. legal side of things because I'm not
yeah.
there with you
mm-hmm.
when you're
right.
at home
yeah,
or
yeah,
when you're
yeah.
getting your finances together mm-hmm. and all these other things that are extremely important, mm-hmm. but also the legal aspects
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and making sure you hire the right attorney for mm-hmm. the situation mm-hmm. that's going to deal with all of these mm-hmm. aspects. And then the last thing on my checklist is over litigation. The case mm-hmm. is going to be overly litigated.
Mm-hmm.
I have a case mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. We're in court at least once a month. I get 2 to 3 different motions. A lot of times I don't even know what the motion is. And we're in front of mm-hmm. the court. And what's shifting in this particular case, I think the court is on to the narcissistic partner.
Oh, okay.
And so when that happens, then uh-huh. we know things start to shift. And
yeah.
it took us 3 years to get there. And what happens in family court also, judges change a lot.
Yeah.
So a judge can be on to the narcissistic partner, but then they leave. And so we're starting all over.
Listen, what I've been told by clients, mm-hmm. and not just in California, is that it was luck. Like if you got the judge who understood narcissism,
yep.
there was going to be a much more reasoned judgment. But if you got a judge who didn't get narcissism, the judgment almost felt sadistic.
Right.
Even though it might have literally followed the family law code, it followed mm-hmm. it to the T,
right.
there was absolutely no recognition of the game that was being played in their courtroom. The overly litigated pieces from my psychologist chair mm-hmm. in these narcissistic divorces is it's not just the cost, it's not just the headache, it's actually the trauma.
Yes.
Because I find that my clients will say, I'm having nightmares,
mm-hmm.
I can't sit still,
mm-hmm.
I am constantly ruminating, I am mm-hmm. not in my life, my body
yes.
is falling apart, I'm afraid to look at my inbox.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
so those sorts of things, the phone pings, they jump.
Yes.
Phone rings, they jump. The email,
mm-hmm.
and to the point where some folks were saying, I was not being good about checking my email,
yes.
running into some issues at work,
mm-hmm.
because it was that stressful.
Right.
And it's not just about the over-litigation as like, now I have to show up to court again.
Right.
It's a 24/7 issue
it is.
That does tremendous harm to people who are going through these divorce processes. You have this checklist. It's great. I would say the biggest takeaway from mm-hmm. your list to me is mm-hmm. you have to shift your expectations.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so that's a big one.
Yes.
And you keep coming to this point because it seems like what a person needs is a really informed guide through this process. I have often told any
mm-hmm.
client who comes to me
mm-hmm.
going through a narcissistic divorce, I said, you have to retain an attorney. You are not doing this online.
Right.
This is not going to be simple. How do you recommend that a person choose an attorney if
mm-hmm.
they're going through a narcissistic divorce?
I think it's important to have your own checklist for your attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Have you
mm-hmm.
worked
mm-hmm.
with any cases that mm-hmm. had a narcissistic
mm-hmm.
person on any side?
Mm-hmm.
What is your approach to
mm-hmm.
the dissolution?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're over talking you or not addressing the issues, they probably do not have the experience. Or if they say things like, oh, I don't know about if I don't believe in narcissism and that sort of thing,
that's
it is not the attorney for you. Or if it's someone that's a little more passive, you know, a little more kumbaya, It's not going to work. It's not going to work for you.
Boom. That's
right.
It.
That and is then it. You do have to follow your intuition. Mm-hmm, a mm-hmm. lot of times we have a bad habit of not listening to our intuition, mm-hmm. especially in situations like mm-hmm, that. I think mm-hmm. that's just as important as the mm-hmm, attorney mm-hmm. checklist.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I cannot tell you, Demetria, mm-hmm. the number of people who, when they were meeting with attorneys mm-hmm. and they'd say, listen, my soon-to-be ex is narcissistic. I'm really worried about how this is going to unfold. Mm-hmm. They were told by the attorney, everybody says their ex is narcissistic.
Yep.
Which to me is actually a version of gaslighting the client.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's completely minimizing their experience. Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous because what that does to that client is saying, oh, I guess you're right. Everyone going through
right.
divorce thinks that person was just rotten and that's why right. they're leaving. And so maybe none of this is even, you know, right. maybe that's the wrong word. And you're right. They could get into that wrong attorney. And mm-hmm. I'm so glad you as an attorney are saying this. If they are not listening to what you're saying,
right.
I've heard this dozens and dozens of times.
Right.
The worst, hardest cases are the folks who come to me who are already 4 to 6 months into the divorce process.
Yeah.
They're shredded and they're stuck with this attorney.
Right.
And a lot of times, I almost say people can get trauma bonded to their divorce attorneys.
Yep.
Just they were trauma bonded in that relationship. They're working really hard. Mm-hmm. They are trying for me. We're this far down the path. Justify, 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 which is what happened in the relationship.
Right.
And I'll say, this person is acting in your service.
Right.
And I understand you don't want to throw more money at this problem with mm-hmm. a new attorney, mm-hmm. but this could end up going really badly. And what are the biggest mistakes people make when they come in, they start the process of a narcissistic divorce that you've seen?
They engage. From the mm-hmm. get-go, they're in the mm-hmm. house, they're fighting, they're mm-hmm. fighting in front of the children. Mm-hmm. They engage from the start.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that really sets them behind the eight ball because mm-hmm. the narcissistic abuser is already planning what they're going to do in divorce.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably recording you. They probably have you on camera doing things that you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one thing
mm-hmm. I have worked with clients.
Yeah.
I mean, it just becomes the war of the cameras
right.
and the recording devices.
Yep.
And I understand it. Like from the position mm-hmm. of the non-narcissistic person, they've said sometimes these cameras have been a game changer
mm-hmm.
because I've actually taken the footage and showed it to my attorney and said,
right.
this is what we're dealing with. But on mm-hmm. the same breath, I have had to tell mm-hmm. non-narcissistic folks going through divorce, you might need to hire someone to sweep this house.
Right.
Probably 50% of the time they found something. My conversation with Demetria will continue after this break.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I'm sure they have. The other mistake I've seen is in not having a plan. These types of cases require a plan.
Mm-hmm.
How are we going to address this case? Are we going to allow the other person to file first? Which I say yes, because mm-hmm. it gives them the illusion that they're in control and they get to set the stage.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a plan for these cases. It's not mm-hmm. like the typical divorce where, okay, you file, I file, mm-hmm. we go about our happy way. You need a plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically the mistake is coming in without a plan,
right.
continuing to engage,
right.
and then having the wrong attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to share with you what I have seen, what I thought were mistakes, but I'm not an attorney.
Okay.
Okay? And I'd love to hear what your take is on some of these. Some of the mistakes I've seen is people having a very unrealistic view of what's going to happen in the family court system.
Right.
The biggest being, well, people are going to see that I'm a really devoted parent and they're sort of terrible and mean. And if I show them all the mean emails, mm-hmm. well, they're not going to give them any custody.
Right. Wrong.
So wrong.
Right.
Right? I remember working once years ago with a family, and this was like one of those really happy families, mm-hmm. too. Like everyone's loving each other and getting along, and the parents had been married like a million years, and everyone mm-hmm. was happy. Daughter's going through a narcissistic divorce. Mm. And the family's like, well, they're going to see he's terrible and he's had affairs and mm-hmm. he screams at the children. They're going to give you all the custody of the kids and we're going to help you and we're going to move next door to you. And mm-hmm. they had it all figured out
right.
until the process began.
Right.
And he started fighting for 50% custody. Right. And would you know, of course he got it mm-hmm. because yelling at your wife for having an affair are mm-hmm. not in most states a grounds,
nope.
not, certainly not in California,
right.
to not have custody. This family was shattered. Mm-hmm. They said, we had no idea. So they mm-hmm. literally didn't know how the system worked.
Right.
And is that, would you say that that's a mistake?
I think that's not having an adequate conversation with your lawyer. Because your lawyer should tell you, in California, there is a really big push to have 50-50
yes,
custody.
There is.
And then on top of that, with a lot of attorneys and a lot of judges not being aware of narcissism, they're not looking into it that
mm-hmm,
way.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, how far do you live from each other?
Yeah.
Are the kids okay? 50-50
mm-hmm.
custody,
mm-hmm.
right? So there has to be very detailed conversations about the topics that are most important to you
mm-hmm.
so you do know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have mm-hmm. to stay clear of attorneys that lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
If they
mm-hmm.
tell you, we're going to give you everything you want. You
yeah.
want 100% custody? You got it. Run. Because
okay.
that's not realistic.
So glad you said that, too,
yeah.
which is that idea that an attorney may promise you the moon and stars. Oh,
right.
this case, I'm easily going to get you 80%. No problem. I have heard people say that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, none of it was true. And what
right.
then?
Well, your attorney should be telling you the pros and cons of your case,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want, you should not want to hear all the good things. You should not want to hear,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to win
mm-hmm.
the moon and the stars.
Mm-hmm.
You want
mm-hmm.
someone that tells you, these are the pros of your case.
Yep.
These are the
mm-hmm.
cons. This is where I think mm-hmm. we're going to have problems.
Mm-hmm. Yep. 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 And but it is such an emotional time that I also think what's challenging is people can't really hear what's being said.
Right.
That's a big one, too. Honestly, when they're coming in your office, you know, there's this whooshing sound in their ears
mm-hmm.
and they're probably hearing about half of what you're saying. So things in writing and all of that would make a huge,
right.
huge difference.
Well, that brings me back to my original point that we are here to help you with the business
mm-hmm,
of your divorce.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you can have support outside of what we
mm-hmm.
do, the better you can
yeah.
potentially hear what
mm-hmm.
we're saying.
So let's talk about mediation, okay? Because this is one that comes up all the time. Mediation is put out there as a what's considered maybe a more civil and less costly approach. Is mediation ever a realistic option for people who are going through a divorce with a narcissistic person?
I think it's only a choice when they have new supply.
Supply, or narcissistic supply, is the validation that the narcissistic person wants and needs. And this can be praise, attention, a sense of power, control, and domination, like they might feel if they are commandeering a divorce. When narcissistic people have enough supply, we see the charm, charisma, swagger, and arrogance. These relationships are notoriously one-sided, with the narcissist needing supply and the rest of us giving it.
So if they're trying to get out of the relationship fast and they really want out and they're ready to give you what you want because they're focused on something else,
yeah.
then it might work. Otherwise, it doesn't because
mm-hmm.
it's in direct contradiction to who a narcissistic person
mm-hmm.
is, right? Because they know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you know everything, you can't hear the mediator. You can't hear what they're trying to tell you. You can't hear them. And they want to win. And mediation is not about winning. It's
right.
about compromising.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
so if they haven't moved on and they're still kind of focused mm-hmm. on this process, it's probably not a great idea.
I found your example really interesting, Demetria. If your narcissistic person has already found new supply,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they found a new person to validate, invariably mm-hmm. in a divorce is that they've met someone new.
Right.
Which, again, narcissistic people, they're, again, because they don't go
mm-hmm.
deep with anyone,
right.
they're able to replace you with someone new and very
right.
quickly. If
mm-hmm.
they didn't already while you were still married, right? So
right.
they have their new supply.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating to me is that you found that in some of those cases, the
mm-hmm.
person's found their new supply, they're feeling in a rush to get engaged and to get married,
mm-hmm.
that might be a point if that narcissistic person, though, is sort of feeling such a pressure that they just want to get you gone and mediation
right.
could potentially
But you
work
better
out.
Hope they don't break up with the supply because
Amen.
Then the focus is back on you.
Correct.
And we're right back to where we started.
So now we get to this interesting place of the language people use. Mm-hmm. Words like narcissism and gaslighting. Again, I've been told this by my clients who will say, when you say these words in the courtroom, you're sometimes viewed as the problem.
Yes.
Can you talk
crazy.
To us? Okay. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, because I think it's so, I don't want to say overly used in our society, but mm-hmm. I think it's a new concept. We're learning more about it. Mm-hmm. And some people don't want to be bothered. Mm-hmm. And so most judges have 20 to 30 cases on their mm-hmm. calendar. And so if you go off script and start talking about things that they're not familiar mm-hmm. with, then you, of course, are the crazy one. And maybe we should look at you. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're the narcissist mm-hmm. because you keep mm-hmm. bringing it up. Mm-hmm. Courts don't want to hear it. So you have to be very careful with the language you use.
Do you coach clients who are going through narcissistic divorces on that, saying, we're not, I get that your mm-hmm. ex is, or soon to be ex, is a narcissist, but
yes.
I get that they're gaslighting. I get all that. We're not saying these words. Do you prepare them to find different ways to talk about this stuff in
yes.
front of a judge?
Talk about the issue at hand. Mm-hmm. This person did not do the exchange at this time. Mm-hmm. I am concerned because of XYZ.
Demetria, I want to understand, when a person has, you have a client, mm-hmm. they have a narcissistic ex who has a narcissistic attorney. Are there any legal guardrails in place to stop this process from becoming full-on ongoing harassment?
Yes and no, mm-hmm. right? So there are codes in the family code that can sanction a party for over-litigating. There's even codes now to sanction the attorney, mm-hmm. but doesn't happen in practice? Not really.
Interesting. Okay.
There might be a slap on the wrist, a warning here, mm-hmm. but not anything significant.
So what I'm hearing is that it is conceivable this entire process can be commandeered by someone, if they have the attorney who's willing to do it for them, to turn into a place of harassment for years.
I've had a case for almost 5 years. They filed over 90 motions. 90.
To what end? Like how different can each of these
My client and I are just like, here we go.
Wow. What ends it? Is there a point mm-hmm. where a person who holds some form of mm-hmm. authority through the state or the courts or the mm-hmm. county or whatever can finally say, clock's, time's up, mm-hmm. we've run out?
Right.
Is that a thing?
Well, we eventually get to a trial.
Uh-huh.
And that would eventually end it. But we have to get to the trial.
Oh, so the trial is sort of the punctuation mark
right.
at the end of the sentence.
Right.
But my understanding is it does take a long time
to get to trial. It does take a long time.
Is that because all of this other stuff has to happen first, or is it because the courts are backed up, or both?
It's both.
Okay.
But a lot of times we have to do discovery. You know, that's a way to extend the case. Oh, I didn't get this. Or, oh, I need to do another deposition. Oh, I need these documents.
And for our listeners, I didn't want to interrupt you, but because we're using this word discovery, I know it, you know it. But my understanding of what discovery is sort of the providing all of the appropriate documentation of anything that's needed to be able to get what's so that decisions can be made in the case. Am
yes,
I right about that?
Is that? Correct.
Right. So it could mm-hmm. be tax documents, it could be
bank statements,
yes. anything,
deeds, right.
Even could be medical records related
right.
to children. And
but
that
then
takes
when
a
you're
while.
In this process, discovery is all your text messages to my client
yeah.
for the last 5 years. All your text messages to your mother for the last 5 years.
Wow.
So it's another form of harassment.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't solve the case.
Is there ever an authority that says, no, you're not getting the text messages to the mother? That's not a thing.
No.
Like, no.
No.
No. So people can just sort of ask
mm-hmm.
for anything that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And
because they can make up any reason why they need the messages to your mom.
Wow.
Right. You told your mom you were going to give her the house.
Mm-hmm.
So that
mm-hmm.
becomes a way to try to obtain text messages.
I see. What I tell clients mm-hmm. who, especially when I get them in the beginning, is I say to them, in about 6 months, you're going to start regretting that you filed for divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to think you've made the biggest mistake of your life. And
mm-hmm.
I want you to know that is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what this process is, to the degree I can give them some psychoeducation, that
mm-hmm.
they are going to ask for things that are you can't imagine. This is going to become your second full-time job,
right.
pulling all this documentation, getting all the stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to feel traumatized. I literally, this is it. This is what's
mm-hmm.
about to come.
Mm-hmm.
So the way we've been talking about things, Demetria, we have definitely been talking about folks who have money. What do you advise to a person who is about to approach a divorce?
Mm-hmm.
They do not have resources. Maybe they're renting an apartment, mm-hmm. but it's the stuff with custody and, right. you know, child support, spousal, whatever. Right. How do you advise people in those situations where it may very well be contentious around things like custody,
right.
but they simply don't have financial resources?
The beauty of LA County, at least, is mm-hmm. there are a lot of self-help centers mm-hmm. that will assist with the documents. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of organizations mm-hmm. That will also give you mm-hmm. an attorney if mm-hmm. you meet their criteria. Mm-hmm. So you might have to do a little legwork and search out who can help you, where you can get the documentation. A lot of the court's website has all of the information mm-hmm. you need, and they try to do a really good job mm-hmm. of outlining mm-hmm. what you need to do step by step, how mm-hmm. to file the documents. There are also pro bono attorneys mm-hmm. that take on some of these cases free mm-hmm. of charge. But we all know that that's not a lot because, you know, attorneys cost money. But most attorneys will provide a free consultation.
Okay.
So do not go into court without at least talking to mm-hmm, someone, mm-hmm, to at least mm-hmm. getting some of the tools. They might not give you everything, mm-hmm. but getting some understanding of what to expect in mm-hmm. court, how it's going to happen, how you should present your evidence. At least try to have a conversation so you're not going in blind mm-hmm. and not knowing what to expect. Ask the attorney, hey, do you know this judge? What can I expect? What should I say? How should I dress? Should I address the other party? At least you have some framework of mm-hmm. what to expect, mm-hmm. even if you can't afford representation.
Okay. So, however, it's got to be challenging in these cases.
Absolutely.
What about other issues, like even around immigration status or anything like that, which could leave a person feeling like they're at peril?
Right.
How does that work?
Immigration status is not presented in family court.
Okay.
It is not
that's good to know.
An issue that mm-hmm. the court will consider. Mm-hmm. And courts actually get a little irritated mm-hmm. when people try to bring that up because it's not part of the okay. family law experience.
Okay. That's good to know.
And then most courts also have interpreters as well. Mm-hmm. So I would consider bringing your own if you think the court's going to be short-staffed or if they don't have your particular mm-hmm. translator. But most of the times they do have interpreters mm-hmm. available at the court
so
for the court hearing.
There are workarounds, but it's going to be harder. I mean, I think that there's
yes.
no sugarcoating this. If a person is under-resourced, mm-hmm. going through this experience,
right.
again, they're so psychologically wrecked
right.
that working their way through even through these low-cost resources just feels
it's challenging.
Too overwhelming. It's really challenging.
Yes.
What about when you have one partner mm-hmm. who has very few resources,
right.
but the other partner is more resourced, right?
Right.
So they have a job. They make the money. They're financially controlling. They financially control all the money. What about those situations?
That party can go in and ask that the narcissistic partner pay for their attorney fees. Now, that's going to probably come with a lot of...
I mean, you can ask for anything you want.
A lot of challenges.
So, yeah.
But that is the standard in family mm-hmm, law. If mm-hmm. one party has the ability to pay, mm-hmm. they will be on the hook for fees.
They will. Okay.
Now, will you actually get it is the question. Mm-hmm. The court can order it. Will you get it is an issue.
Okay.
I have also seen where the non-abusing party loses their attorney because the narcissistic party is not paying the fees. And so a lot of times the non-abusing party is left defending themselves mm-hmm. because they can't afford or mm-hmm. the other side is not providing mm-hmm. the appropriate fees.
Okay. So, and I've seen that happen too. So mm-hmm. You've raised something though that I want to ask about. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've seen this one happen over and over and over again, mm-hmm. which is this person, narcissistic person, making tons of money,
right.
bringing it in, living large. Now this process starts and
they
lost my job.
Yes.
Okay.
Or I closed my business.
Right. is a big one. Right. Closed my business, lost my job. Mm-hmm. So now this starts this entire game around support payments and all of mm-hmm. that. Can you talk a little bit about those scenarios in a narcissistic divorce?
Well, thankfully, if they are employed, we can do wage garnishments and that mm-hmm. sort of thing to make sure that, you know, support is paid. Mm-hmm. But it is a challenge if that person is self-employed. There's nothing to attach to. Mm-hmm. And so then the non-narcissistic party is trying to survive. Mm-hmm. So then this mm-hmm. process becomes less important because I don't have money. How am I going to take care of the children? Mm-hmm. How am I going to live? Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. now they're off their game while the mm-hmm. narcissistic partner is going on their game plan.
The sort of sick and twisted sort of sense of pride of like, look, I stuck it to this person. I won.
Mm-hmm.
And may still have resources and whatnot that they can access because all they did was step away, like you said, from this self-employment kind of a setup.
And that's why I always try to talk to clients throughout the process about the practicality of everything, because of course I do this every day, right? So this is my job. This is what I do. But how are you going to live? What is the plan? Yeah, if he takes everything away, what are we doing? Because you're not going to want to do this process if you don't have anywhere to go at night.
Yes.
So that's extremely important to me.
Yes. Okay. What does community property really mean?
Community property really means that all the property and the debt for that matter that we accrue during the marriage belongs to the both of us.
Okay.
So if we buy property, regardless of whose name it's in, are assumed to be community property.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cars.
Cars.
Furniture.
Furniture. Everything.
Everything.
Everything. And it doesn't matter if you bought it from your bank account or my bank account or your salary or my salary.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a funny, tricky, strange question.
Okay.
So I've worked with more than a few people who are with narcissistic cheaters.
Oh.
Okay. And so the narcissistic cheater, he'd buy an expensive item, a watch, a piece of jewelry for the other person.
Right.
Okay.
A special friend.
That thing now belongs to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But presumably these joint assets were used to buy a $50,000 gift.
Right.
How does that play out in a divorce?
It really depends on the station in life, right? Because if $50,000 is really like $500, it's probably not going to be
a thing.
Mm-hmm. But if $50,000 is twice your salary for the month or whatever it is, it's going to be a thing. And you might have to give that back to the community.
So, in other words,
the other person is gone. Yeah.
But that $50,000 may have to come back in. So, really, it depends kind of scenario. I know of a circumstance where a person found a receipt for expensive pieces that equaled about $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't hers.
Right.
And so then she knew that this was purchased for someone else.
Oh, that's definitely a divorce issue.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever advise a person in a divorce with a narcissist where there's going to be all this to-ing and fro-ing? That if they can find a number that works for them that would be less than the 50% that they're entitled to, might even be 30%, but they can live with the number, take it and go, even though it's not what the law might have awarded them.
All the time.
Interesting. Can you talk more about that?
Yes. What is it worth to you? What is your mental health worth to you? What is your peace worth to you? What is your, you know, freedom worth to you? And some people, sometimes I have to, you know, talk them back up. Some people say, I don't want anything. I walk away from all the houses, all the stuff. I just want to go.
Let's talk about infidelity.
Okay.
Okay, narcissistic infidelity. That, because the fact is, not all relationships where there's infidelity end up in divorce, frankly.
Right.
In fact, a lot don't.
Don't. Mm-hmm.
Narcissistic infidelity seems to have a little bit of a flair to it. It's either repeated.
Yes.
It's in your face. Mm-hmm. The person's gaslighted about it. Mm. Whatever it is. If you're married to a narcissistic person, they've already been abusing the heck out of you anyway. So treating you terribly. And then there's this whole other thing happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so in your experience, when infidelity is a driver of that divorce, do those divorces have a different feel to you from the perspective of you representing the non-narcissistic person?
Right. They're very dramatic from the start. Mm-hmm. But again, we're managing expectations because unfortunately in California, we have a no-fault state.
Mm-hmm.
So infidelity is important to the person that it happened to, but it's not important in the context of the divorce. So I'm having to say, yes, let's talk about it. I want to hear about it because it's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, when we go into court, judge doesn't want to hear about it.
That must be a big part, again, about the expectations.
Right.
And I think that's a shocker for people who think, don't you get, like, points for that?
No, and then some people get mad at me because I'm honest, right? Everyone doesn't, you know, appreciate the honesty. I've had people not hire me, go hire someone that told them what they wanted to hear, and then come back because the honesty is important. I'm not going to tell you, yes, go tell the court all the times he cheated on you because the court just doesn't want to hear about it.
Interesting. Have you ever represented the narcissist?
Yes.
Okay, talk about that.
Yes. I think that was before I really understood what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a lot younger in my career where the money meant something more to me than my reputation and they know how to control you. They know how to get out of you what they want, and the money is flowing. So in your career, before you learn, all money is not good money, and your reputation matters. And, you know, you have constant money coming in, and that's a very hard experience because you have no client control because they know more than you without a law degree. They know more than the judge. So it's very hard to maintain the case.
Now, the next thing I want to go talk about, why do people get divorced?
I could spend an hour on this topic, but I heard this quote before and it really stuck with me. I think people spend more time preparing for the wedding than they do the actual marriage. People aren't talking. They don't know what they want the marriage to look like. They don't know what makes them happy. They haven't talked to their spouse about what makes them happy. So people are just getting married and then trying to figure it out once they get in the relationship.
I think what's also challenging, though, is that the narcissistic relationship, so add a whole level of challenge to that, right?
Yes.
Because with all the conversations in the world, we're never going to make this relationship healthy. And then people say, well, shouldn't people have figured this out before they got married? Ish. You know, the idea of this whole trauma bonding, justifying, not quite getting what this is. Maybe I'm expecting too much from a person. Maybe I'm the one who's too sensitive. I mean, the whole litany of things we talk about on this podcast all the time, that folks are kind of in a storm. And so then there is this idea of like, but I really do want to get married. I really do want a family. If their friends are all getting married, there's this whole agenda that's happening that has nothing to do. And so I think, oh, I saw some stuff that made me uncomfortable, but there was enough boxes being ticked. I'm like, oh, if there ever there was a time to not compromise, it's before you agree to this. But even once they're in it, the justifying, all that stuff continues. And communication and all of that stuff, that's all off the table. People are in a mess that they just simply don't understand. And if they don't have the language of narcissism, they just don't even know what they're dealing with. And most of the time, they're blaming themselves.
I wish there were more procedures to get in. I wish there were more conversation, more procedure to get in and to force people to really think about commitment.
I really agree. And you know what? I think part of the problem is a lot of that has happened in sort of more religious spaces. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know,
marriage
churches,
counseling.
Marriage counseling, you know, these six sessions you might have to. And I think that's tricky. I think that's designed to like, let's talk about things. But I actually mean sort of like, for example, when a patient comes to my practice, there's an informed consent where I'm kind of listing everything that could kind of go wrong. Nobody is signing informed consent for marriage.
No.
There is no form.
No. They're not even talking about it.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
Informed consent for marriage. I never
even
thought about it until now.
I like it.
Like, please know that. Can you imagine? A lot of people, and there'd be two doors. If you still
want to get married,
that'd be that door. And the other door, there's the bar over there. And just have a come every
day. I want the bar.
I want the bar. I'm like, I think I might take a pass on that one. Okay. So when you're in a narcissistic relationship and things go wrong, the one thing a narcissistic person cannot do is regulate disappointment.
No.
They cannot. A job offset, not getting the bonus they thought, not getting the promotion, not getting the money, whatever it may be, things not working out the way they want, they lack the flexibility to roll with that. And so a marriage that was already a little precarious because this person was really difficult to start with, when things go wrong, when it falls apart colossally. And narcissistic people always blame everybody else for what's gone wrong. This is your fault. This is your mother's fault. This is your sister's fault. This is the kid's fault. This is the dog's fault. And then when the divorce process starts, this is an unfair process. This is the entire process is stacked up against me. Victim, 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 victim. And that's how they go through that process.
But a lot of narcissists hide, too. They can really hide who they are, charm your socks off until you're married.
Demetria notes that narcissism can hide behind charm. It's not that they hide, it's that the superficial charm is a tactic meant to get validation, and that is on when they feel in control and in power. But lurking underneath at all times is the rage that comes out when they feel insecure. So they can be very charming in a courtroom.
Oh, yes.
And what's challenging about this is if a person's gone through a narcissistic divorce, they often look crushed. Mm-hmm. Okay, they look crushed and broken by the process. So they can look hollowed out. They may be hunched over. They may be crying. Mm-hmm. They may not actually even look well put together because they've been through something.
Right.
The narcissistic person comes in there. They're charming. They're grandiose.
Yep.
They're so privileged. They feel like they belong mm-hmm. there. They're acting like they're buddies with the judge. Mm-hmm. That's what the judges need to be able to see through.
Right.
Because that picture is maybe of like, well, maybe this person just was like, there's something wrong with them, mm-hmm. the other person. Mm-hmm. And this person seems to have it really well sort of put together. Right. Have you ever had that situation where your client was really sort of broken down by this mm-hmm. process mm-hmm. and then the charming narcissist comes in right. and waltzes into the courtroom and everyone's thinking, well, they've got it all together.
Mm-hmm. I have, and I've had to have a hard conversation. If we go in here crying, it's mm-hmm. not going to be good for us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's cry now. Let's mm-hmm, take a break. Mm-hmm. Let's go have coffee. And then we're going to go back in.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, it is a sign of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go into court, again, we want to present our facts, our case, and get to the court what we want.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go over there, like you said, slouched over, crying, your message mm-hmm. is overshadowed mm-hmm. by that.
It's unfortunate because there's a reality to it.
The reason
that person is hunched over is because they've gone through something. It's not, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? They're not at all weak. In fact, that's a really strong response. They're experiencing something real.
Right.
But the judges do not understand trauma.
Right. But this is what I tell my clients, too. Again, this is a business.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a way you have to present your business.
Mm-hmm.
We have to deal mm-hmm. with our emotions and mm-hmm. our trauma and everything we went through. But unfortunately, we cannot mm-hmm. present that in the courtroom.
We will be right back with my conversation with Demetria.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
So let's talk about you now of custody. It's messy enough already,
mm-hmm.
and this is where all the emotions come in. Because mm-hmm. most people say, car, dining table, mm-hmm. house even, whatever.
Right.
I want my kids.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How do you help people through this process when they're starting
right.
and going through a narcissistic divorce and this custody issue of minor children is in play?
It depends on where we are in a mm-hmm. case, because I've mm-hmm. had a case where the narcissistic partner went and tried to win custody before the case even started. Right. So when we're in that circumstance, and clearly that's a different strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if you even start with 50-50, it kind of unravels on its own,
mm-hmm.
because sometimes mm-hmm. the narcissistic partner cannot sustain it,
sure.
especially if there's new supply that they're focused on.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even want their children 50% mm-hmm. of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they don't. But they'll fight for 50% because
right.
they know they're going to mess with the other person.
But now, then it falls apart
mm-hmm.
and they can't do it. So,
and the fall apart process, because a court decision may be made for 50%, right?
Mm-hmm.
The fall apart would then be the documentation of this pickup didn't happen. They didn't
right.
take them for any of the weekends they were supposed to. They disappeared for 3 weeks.
But they don't care about that because they won. They won the 50-50.
Right. But then your client is now going to have to mount up the legal argument and go back into court.
Yep.
Right. So that's the thing
it.
Is mm-hmm. that to modify it, you're not going to get that appointment right away.
No.
And so while you're waiting, those gaps of time, got mm-hmm. the 50-50 judgment, mm-hmm. narcissistic person messing up.
Mm-hmm.
New court dates all the way over here.
Right.
But in this entire process here,
mm-hmm.
what's happening is that narcissistic person, the mm-hmm. narcissistic ex, mm-hmm. narcissistic co-parent,
right.
is lording it over them. Hey, I got 50%.
Yep.
Don't you plan a vacation? I got 50%.
Yep.
They don't mm-hmm. take the 50%, but the court date's all the way out
right.
here. Mm-hmm. This is so psychologically difficult for people who are holding up 80% custody.
Right.
They're not getting the financial support necessarily if they're entitled to it for 80% custody.
Right.
But then when they try to plan a life for these children, it's exactly then where that narcissistic co-parent will say, well, I do have 50%. And if you don't do that, well, then you are in violation
of,
that 50-50.
Yeah.
That's the game I've seen played over and over and over again.
And what's sad to me are the kids are watching.
Yes.
They see what's happening.
Yes.
They're the most impacted.
Right.
This sticks with them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of children do not have the language to express how they're feeling and what that's like.
I also think of the number of people who sort of wait until their children are either coming 16, 17 years old or full on 18, like 18th birthday celebration of my child's 18th birthday. I'm rolling up to court and I'm filing for divorce.
Right.
Where the custody stuff is off the table.
Right.
The big question I get, why can't the courts just do what's right to protect children and instead get caught in this? Well, by the law, they're allowed to have this. What are your thoughts on that?
I think courts think they're doing the best that they can with the information that they have. Right. Because we both know narcissists can hide some of this behavior.
Yeah, yeah.
They can present the best of themselves. Mm-hmm. And let's say I'm going to use myself for an example. If I have a mental issue and I went to a mental health facility for a couple of months, you're using that against me.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's how can she take care of a child if she has these mental health concerns?
Yeah,
or how can she take care of a child if she works 80 hours a week?
Mm-hmm.
And so they know how to use things against you to make themselves look better and hide the narcissistic traits.
The thing that I try to work with clients on is, can we get you set up and your attorney set things out the right way that you make the narcissistic person snap? That's the game. I mean, I hate to say game, but, that's
it
the game.
Right.
You know, is how can we get them? And part of it is, you know, you not reacting, you staying strong, you coming in looking like your fierce self and your new suit into the courtroom, that it's anything that can make them, again, snap so that their personality
comes
will
through.
Show to the judge. There are other players when there's children in custody.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who represent the child in proceedings. These folks are a blessing and a curse because a lot of them don't understand narcissism.
Right. And it also depends on who they align with. Some align with the narcissist.
I know that.
And that can be very, very dangerous.
Very dangerous. Can you explain what a guardian ad litem is from a legal perspective?
Right. That's just someone that's appointed as the guardian of the child if something, for whatever reason, either parent is not in the capacity to care for their kid.
Okay. And so the guardian ad litem is someone the parents choose or it's somebody who's acting?
Sometimes the court has to choose if the parents are unable to choose.
Okay. So this is a person who's in the child's life.
Yes.
Okay.
It
and sort of helping represent their interests in the court process.
And what I see mostly in family court, at least here, is either minor's counsel.
Yes.
Which is a lawyer that is appointed
for the child.
For the child's voice.
Mm-hmm.
We also have minor's interview where minors are interviewed by the judge to talk about whatever the issue may be. And then we have custody evaluations where someone that's like a therapist comes and evaluates the situation and makes a recommendation for the court, what they deem to be the children's best interest. The bigger problem to me is sometimes they don't have enough time to really get into the nitty-gritty of what's going on. And most people don't have money to pay for a private evaluator. That can
be
$15,000 to $20,000.
That's exactly right.
And then again, if that person aligns with one of the parties, it's not giving the court adequate information.
Yeah.
And then minor's counsel, most parties don't have money to pay for the minor to have a lawyer. But I know for me in my practice, I don't like kids to have to be interviewed or have lawyers. That is very traumatic.
It is
they
very
do
traumatic.
Not want to do that.
No, it's very traumatic. And okay, so this is another really important one. The kids are often, if not hurt, sometimes even traumatized by this entire process.
Yes.
What if you have a situation where one parent very much wants therapy for the children, but the other parent is saying no, and they have set up their medical care is that both parents have to sign off on it.
Joint legal custody, which is what most parents tend to have, is joint legal custody, meaning they both can make legal decisions about the child. But I will say family court is very, very supportive of therapy for children, especially in divorce settings. So you better have a really good reason why you're objecting to therapy and why you feel it's not in the best interest. Because what can happen is you can lose your joint deciding authority, and that one parent can have the authority to decide if the kids are going to do therapy or not.
If the one parent is trying to stop something like
therapy. There has to be a really good reason.
Okay. All right. However, I have seen, though, that the parent who is trying to refuse therapy could forestall the process because they're waiting for the hearing until they have that. So it could be months, sometimes even a year. The child can't get therapy because you can't get both parents to
sign off
on it.
But what I've heard judges say in that regard is that is not child-focused. And if you don't come up with a good reason, I need to know why the other parent shouldn't have sole legal custody.
I think that the hardest thing that people learn is that family court is actually not designed to protect children.
No.
That's not its function, and that's what a lot of people think it is. And sadly, though, this system is harming children. I have worked with adult survivors of these court systems. I'm thinking of one woman in particular, and she said, I was destroyed by what happened in that family court. That 50-50 custody damn near broke me. If the function of family court is not to protect children, what is the function of family court?
Well, they will tell you it is to protect the children and get the parties divorced, but as we're talking, that's not the case.
It's not the case.
Yeah. But right now, it's pushing the cases through. Family court has so many cases in front of them, especially post-pandemic. So they're not spending the time on each case to really get down to the details of what's going on. They can only do with what is presented to them by the parties. And a lot of times, we can't see the narcissistic behavior because they're hiding behind their mask and they do it really well.
To me, family court is a place where this legal contract called marriage is taken apart.
Yes.
And I think that that contract part, that's not very romantic. And it's not sexy like a honeymoon or a wedding cake. But it is a contract.
It is a contract.
And when we take contracts apart, ahead of their term, there's a process.
Yes.
And what if the narcissistic co-parent keeps trying to drag the other person back into court over everything from the $100 for karate lessons to the new pair of snow boots, like every little expenditure they're trying to adjudicate? How do you handle those cases for your clients?
I have told my clients to keep as greatest records as possible. Document everything. I paid you $10 on February 23rd for karate. Whatever it is, to document it, because 9 times out of 10, if the narcissistic partner did not win, you are going back to court.
Okay. What is your guidance around family communication apps like My Family Wizard and Talking Parents?
Love them.
Yeah.
And I think Our Family Wizard has the tone meter. So if you feel that, you know, you might use choice words, it has a tone meter and it'll tell you the alternative to what you want to say.
Imagine if we had tone meters we could wear around our necks
as
we walked around the world. Oof, be a really quiet world. I think you and I are both so familiar with the apps, but people listening may not be. So My Family Wizard has a tone meter.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how that plays out on the app? Because I think it's a really great feature.
Yes. So in family court, sometimes the court has to order that parties have to use an app to communicate with one another. And so what Our Family Wizard does, if you send an email, because you're supposed to communicate with your other parent on the app, it'll tell you, hey, check your tone when you send this email.
And that's based on the words that
they're based on the words that you put in the message to the other party. And I also say with the apps, keep it short. Please don't give a 7-page letter.
But see, that's what narcissistic people do. They do give 7-page letters. And you know, the features of Our Family Wizard Talking Parents is that they create a record. A record that is actually admissible
in court.
In court.
Yes. And that starts to unravel the narcissistic mass as well. If the court continuously sees 7-page letters
that's exactly
in the
app. Do the courts mandate the use of the apps?
The parties can either agree on their own, or if the communication is just so far out of control, the court will mandate.
Okay. Okay. Got it.
The use
court
of the app.
Okay. You know what's interesting about narcissistic folks in divorces? at some point, the kids sort of feel like a nuisance to them and sort of put cramp in their style and all of that. They could do the Disneyland parent thing for a minute and show up and be all that. They're not really interested in the hard work of parenting in many of these cases.
Most of the cases I've seen, once they have won whatever custody schedule they were seeking, it falls apart.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10.
I think there are folks out there who think that going in front of a judge will be this moment when someone is going to bear witness in this really public kind of judicially way that someone's going to bear witness that this person's a narcissist, and there's going to be this magic moment. It'll be recognized. The judge is going to see it. It's going to unmask the narcissist in this really public way, and that the person going through this will feel whole. What you got to say about that?
That makes for great TV. But unfortunately, that's not realistic.
Yeah. And do you ever have clients who think that's going to happen?
People want to be vindicated.
Yes, they do. They want to be seen,
Yeah, they want to be seen. But unfortunately, it's not in court.
Yeah. I think it's a human desire that somebody, especially a person in a position of authority, will bear witness to your pain.
Right.
And I think that if people are not prepared that that's not going to happen, it can actually feel like a catastrophic moment of even in this place where I thought that rightness and justice was going to be delivered, it wasn't seen. What is the rest of my life going to look like? When we have the sense that the world is an unjust place at such a big level, it can actually be this really big existential hole that people fall into.
But I'm going to refer them back to our expectation conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
Of what the court is, what their role is, and what we can expect from the experience.
Yeah. So it's before the person goes in. They need to be aware of that. And you're right. This isn't a TV show where there's this grand moment and everything is seen and the person or people are clapping at the end and it's you're crying and your attorney's hugging you.
Okay, sorry to bust the bubble.
No, it's good to bust bubbles because otherwise it can get messy. Demetria, can you tell people where to find you?
I am everywhere. Definitely.
Yes,
on
you are.
Social media. Demetria Graves. I'm on Instagram, Facebook. You can email me at info@graveslawfirmca.com. I have my own podcast, Legally Uncensored, where I talk about a lot of these issues as well.
You're such a fresh, wonderful voice.
Oh, thank you.
So glad that we, again, selfishly, so glad that everyone's like, oh, I need an attorney. I got someone for you. I've got a referral. So I can't thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule, really important work you do to share this with. I've learned so much, and I'm so grateful to you. So thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm very, very happy
to
be here.
Thank you. Here are my takeaways from my conversation with Demetria. Let's break down Demetria's pre-divorce checklist for divorce from a narcissistic person, which is about the psychological shifts you will need to make within yourself. Her checklist highlights the issue of expectations and mental preparation. She reminds us that, one, the gloves are off, and this is likely to be contentious and ugly. To the degree that it is possible, you need to psychologically prepare for this. Number two, it will be more expensive than non-narcissistic divorces. Issues such as over-litigation mean that cost overruns will happen, and that means it is essential you hire a good attorney who understands this strategically, so they can be mindful of their time and your money. Number three, they may hire an antagonistic attorney themselves, and it can feel like you are fighting two people. Demetria reminds us that while this can be overwhelming and anxiety-producing, it is your attorney's job to handle the arrogance and the nastiness of the opposing attorney. You just need to be ready for it. Number four, she also stresses that people must have realistic expectations about custody and co-parenting. Next in her checklist is the idea that you need to hire a solid attorney that understands narcissism. If you are met with pushback, like everyone thinks their ex is a narcissist during a divorce, well, then your concerns may not be taken seriously enough. Find an attorney that hears your concerns without minimizing them. Because if they do not know what they are up against, the divorce may end up being more expensive and take longer. She also strongly encourages clients to work with an attorney that has experience navigating the narcissistic divorce landscape. She also warns against choosing an attorney that is too passive and assumes things will just work their way out. But above all else, she encourages trusting your intuition. In my next takeaway, the key mistakes that Demetria highlighted were that people overengage from the start, don't have a plan, and have the wrong attorney. This may be the fight of your life, so being strategic, tactical, and as supported as possible is essential, especially in a system that doesn't really care if your ex is a narcissist. In this next takeaway, as part of her pre, during, and post-divorce checklist, Demetria strongly encourages people going through a narcissistic divorce work with a therapist. A lawyer is not a therapist, and therapy is the place to work through the strong emotions that this process can bring up. Now, this takeaway is important. Not everyone can afford to hire an attorney. And Demetria provided information on some resources to consider exploring. If the narcissistic person has an attorney, you will need one as well. And working with local pro bono and legal aid organizations can give you some essential guidance as you go through this process. So in this next takeaway, when it comes to working through the custody process, Demetria had three key recommendations. The first was documentation. Documenting everything and presenting hard data is far more important than saying, this is toxic, or the other parent isn't following the plan. Second was the use of family communication apps that allow you to keep a running record of communication. Finally, she again highlighted the importance of therapy, not just for the parent, but also for children. And finally, for those of you not married yet, this episode may actually have more relevance than you realize. If you don't want to have to get out, then pay attention to how you come in. People are able to lavish attention on the minor details of wedding seating arrangements and honeymoon hotels, and that's fine. But the same level of attention and detail have to go into talking through and planning what you want a marriage to look like. We floated the idea of an informed consent form for marriage, and while that may not exist yet, there is no reason you can't explore these issues, uncomfortable though they may be, before you sign that marriage license.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee.
visit RightRug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.